Stony Brook.
Stardate December 29th. The sun and moon appear as disks in our sky because they're so close to us. Meanwhile, even the largest stars look like pinpoints. The stars are really huge balls of shining gas. A million of our moons could fit inside any one of the stars in our night sky. But the stars are all so far away that we see them as little points of light. One bright red point, visible generally below the moon in tonight's sky, is Betelgeuse in the constellation Orion. It's one of the largest stars known. Betelgeuse is a cool red supergiant star in a more advanced stage of its evolution than our sun. This star isn't stable. It expands and contracts in size. At its largest, if it replaced the sun in our solar system, its outer surface would extend beyond the orbit of Jupiter, 5 times farther from the sun than Earth is. What's more, Betelgeuse is known to be surrounded by a shell of gas, probably thrown off from the main star. With its shell, Betelgeuse extends some 400 times farther than the orbit of our solar system's farthest planet, to a radius of about 1.5 trillion miles. Betelgeuse is one of the few stars in our sky that should be visible as a disk through powerful modern telescopes. But we can't see it as a disk from Earth's surface, since wherever we peer at it, we're peering through the thick blanket of Earth's atmosphere. Betelgeuse, one of the brightest stars in the sky, generally below the moon tonight, a huge star estimated to lie at about 1,400 light years away from Earth. For December 29th, that's Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Brain Damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
And very good evening to one and all. The program is Brain Damage. This is Eric Orley up until midnight or whatever. I'm bringing you all kinds of stretches of the imagination, I guess is what you say. And very thanks to Jim Weiner for another in a series of excellent programs.
I don't think he had the station. I don't think the station wanted to was this one.
Well, I think it was. I think in this particular case, I mean, the reason I'm mentioning it was because it's an exception to the rule.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. Jim, were you on the subway yesterday by any chance?
No, I wasn't.
Ah, you heard what happened on the subway.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yes.
And you noticed that a lot of Long Islanders seem to be on that train. And I think the reason for that was that they were making use of the Flatbush connection, you know?
Yes.
You know what the Flatbush connection is? You want to explain it to our listeners?
Well, you see, if you work in Manhattan, and you work particularly in downtown Manhattan, it's quite possible that you'd be better off, unless, of course, there's a smoke problem on the subway, you'd be better off, instead of going to Pennsylvania Station, or even Hunters Point Avenue, or even Long Island City, which are the different...
Some of the different terminals.
That's right. You could, if you wanted to, ride the train, Long Island Railroad, west, all the way to the Flatbush Avenue terminal in Brooklyn, and then pick up the 2, 3, 4, or 5 subways. That's just an example. Or you could pick up
the BMT
trains.
Yeah,
the M,
the
R, I guess the M also.
It's all transferable. So you can move all over the place. You can go out to the street. There's no limit to what you can do.
That's right.
You can get on the train and go back.
That's right. We could get on Flatbush Avenue and go back.
Yeah.
Go back to Long Island. The horizon is just what it implies.
Exactly.
It's a horizon. There's no limit to it. And those people, very well would have been taking advantage of what is promoted by the Long Island Road as the Flatbush connection.
Yeah. We're going to be getting into the nuances of the whole mess that happened yesterday a little later, but I was wondering if you had any insight as to what occurred. I mean, are you on that kind of a train usually in the mornings?
On that kind of a train? Actually, usually I ride the subways just a couple of stops. I take either the number 7 a couple of stops from Hunters Point Avenue into the east side of Manhattan, or I take a number 1, 2, 3, or 9 train.
Have you really taken the 9 train?
I have taken the 9
really
train.
I've never seen a 9 train.
Oh, I've seen them and taken them. Yes.
They do exist.
They do. They absolutely
exist. I've also been
on
the Z train.
The Z I've not been on yet.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The Z I've not been on. But I take that train up and then I to Times Square, and then I go over to Grand Central by the shuttle or by the number 7. So those are the trains I usually have to take in the city. When I go.
People interested in the fine details of Jim Wiener's life...
now realizes that they're not so fine and they're a little too detailed, I suppose. Now
this is the night for you, because we're going to be probing very deeply into this. So imagine yourself on this subway train, you know, and smoke is billowing in, and they're not telling you anything about what's going on.
Yeah, but that's on a normal day.
I mean, imagine all the lights went out too. All the lights probably went out too. Right?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, so that must have been quite an experience, because you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm sure, all kidding aside, that was rather frightening for many people, because just as you say, you don't know how it's going to turn out. It's one thing when a train stops in the middle of somewhere in a tunnel and the lights are still on, and then there's an announcement that says, "Oh, we have some other trains ahead of us, or some signal problems, so we'll."
It's a police action in the station ahead of us, whatever that means.
Right.
Police
right.
action is a pedestrian accident.
and it could be any number of things where the
police
are involved.
These euphemisms, we don't know what they mean, but they mean something, you know.
But that, yes.
The dead body and the tracks ahead, and we have to wait until the coroners come and clear it out. I wish I'd be a little more specific
Well, some people might not want that.
A sick passenger. What's sick passenger, you know? Well, I'm feeling kind of queasy. Could you stop the train, please? Sure, yeah, we'll wait for 2 hours. But you know what was interesting? 900 people were on that train. I didn't know 900 people were on a single subway train.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe it. In rush hour.
And rush hour is probably packed to the rafters.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're going to panic, you don't want to panic in a place that's crowded.
That
you know, where you can't even move and flail about your arms and, you know, swing and things like that. It's, you know, it's, it must have been, and it was dark, too, I'll bet. In a tunnel with no power.
Yeah.
Lights went out. Boy. Could have been any of us.
That's true.
Could have been our listeners. Maybe some of our listeners were there.
Yeah.
But what's the worst thing that ever happened to you in a subway?
To me in a subway?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything that was really bad that ever happened to me in a subway train, actually.
They stop the trains now, and they don't tell you why. And you just sort of sit there for a while.
I usually rack that up to just some extra heavy train traffic or a problem with a train or a signal. That usually doesn't bother me. I can't think of any time that I really had a bad experience in a subway train.
Well, it could have been a lot worse. 2 people died, but...
I didn't know that, actually, because I've been away and I haven't been near too much.
2 people, both from Long Island. One from Smithtown, one from Massapequa.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that.
And 150 people went to the hospital.
Hmm.
Don't know how many are still there. But, yes, just one other thing to worry about. Now, when it snows, it's possible that the snow will cause a fire.
Yeah.
I never knew that was possible.
Yeah.
Boy.
Me neither.
You live and learn, you know?
Yeah. And you hope it's hoped to be that you continue to live.
Now, speaking of stories, Jim, when I came in here, you were ranting and raving to no one in particular about something that had happened to you today, I believe.
Well, yes, actually, now, you know, especially since the deaths occurred, this pales in comparison to what happened on the subway train.
Well, it concerns your personal life,
but,
so
well, I mean,
pales in comparison to that.
Well,
so.
No, I would say now, you know, I can certainly consider myself lucky, I was rather disturbed to find this out because, as you know, I'm a big lover of trains and all kinds of different trains and big enthusiast. And last night I was getting on a train in...
So Long Island Railroad counts as trains?
Oh, definitely.
Real trains, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I don't know, you just somehow don't think those count, but I guess they do.
Well, Long Island Railroad is my favorite railroad in the whole wide world.
Uh-huh.
I'll say it proudly.
Sort of like, you know, is a poodle really a dog?
Oh, well.
Questions like that I ask.
Yeah, but I don't think of the Long Island Railroad as a poodle. I think of it more as a
schnauzer.
A Newfoundland, actually.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes. A Newfoundland.
A freight line is a Newfoundland.
Well, I think a freight line is more like a Great Dane.
Yeah, that too, but that's a different kind of freight line. It's like the Great Dane's got a caboose and the Newfoundland doesn't. You know, that's a difference there. But I wouldn't know. Newfoundland,
no.
Long Island Railroad, Newfoundland.
I kind of figured out that way.
Definitely.
No, I think
a terrier of some sort.
No. Not when you have like a double engine train out of Port Jefferson barreling into Jamaica on its way to Hunters Point Avenue. It has a nice newfie look to it.
Did you see how in Boston they had a train crash too yesterday?
Yes.
To sort of try and top us, but no.
Yes.
This time we got the headlines.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston tries this every couple of weeks or so, trying to make the definitive train crash. Is it going to be a commuter train? Is it going to be an Amtrak? Is it going to be a trolley? What's
right.
it going to be this week?
Like mass transit roulette.
But they have to understand, we don't care anymore, you know? Crash all your trains together. We don't care. You know, we do it with imagination in New York. We start fires with snow. That's something you just can't do anywhere else. But, you know, I don't think trains can crash into each other here. I don't think that's ever happened.
I think there have been some
recently?
I don't think recently, but actually, well...
Well, I know a subway crashed into a platform
April,
or something.
In April. 89. April of 1989.
One train crashed into another one.
One train crashed into another one. Where? On which...
Were these rail trains or were they freight trains?
No, they were subway trains.
Subway trains.
Crashed into each other, huh?
I think those count.
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess they do if
definitely.
They crash into each
definitely.
Other.
Yeah, somebody who's on those trains, they'll count.
I'd say they count. One too many is what they count. But, yeah, it's not, doesn't seem to be the same thing as what happens in other cities. I don't know. There seem to be safety precautions, but they sure as hell didn't work yesterday. But anyway, Jim, get back to your relatively trivial story.
Yes, I would say. I was supposed to take a train from Greenville, South Carolina, up to New York City, which I ended up doing, but not under the most pleasant circumstances.
Oh, God, seems you wind up in South Carolina.
Because I was visiting somebody in North Carolina, and it was the
and
closest...
You missed. You made that mistake, too. I've made that mistake.
Yeah, my compass times. Got messed up, but it was the uh-huh. closest station that was served that particular town in North Carolina was in Greenville, South Carolina. So I ended up there. And about a quarter to 11 at night, I'm standing there with my ticket in my hand, presumably a confirmed reservation, and the train, the only train of the day, pulls in.
Takes one look at you and pulls out.
Just about. I walked over, and the attendant for the car that I was assigned to kind of looked at me like I was from outer space. And granted, if I stopped wearing those antennae on my head, I suppose I would have less of that reaction. But it was for a different reason, because he said that his car was all filled up, and they did apparently what was termed double selling, where I was told that they had sold the space that I had reserved to somebody else, and that person happened to get on before I did. So they were able to find another accommodation for me that was significantly smaller. I had hoped to be able to stretch out comfortably, and this wasn't quite as comfortable, and...
They put you in the bathroom or something?
Well, not really. I mean, it was a regular, bona fide space, and I'm going to get a refund on the difference, but, I could have dealt with that, because, as you know, as I said, I'm a big train enthusiast, and there are things like this happen. Trains can be delayed, you can have confusion with accommodations, it's troublesome, but...
Crash into each other.
Yeah, what the heck,
expect,
you know?
Right.
And, So I figured, okay, it goes with the territory occasionally, and what the heck? I won't think much about it. Well, this morning, I get up and
wait, is this a sleepover train?
This is a sleepover train. Yeah.
Oh, so you had a room? Is this what we're talking about?
A very small room.
I think I stayed in one of those little. Is this the one where the bed folds down?
Yes,
and
but
a toilet too at the same time. And
yes,
it's also a shower.
No
and
shower.
You can also. Oh, really?
No, there's no shower. I think you can get it on
the
West
over.
Coast.
No, you have to flip it over for the shower.
Flip what over?
The bed. And then it becomes a shower.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You never did that?
No, I never did that.
Oh, it's incredible. They get all these things into
well,
and there's more, too, but I didn't have time to check it all out.
I wasn't aware of that, but
what, do you want one of these luxury double bed things? Or?
Oh, no, I wasn't looking for anything luxurious, just for, like, what they call a roomette. But what I got was, like, a roomette-ette.
Okay.
So, again, all of this, I was taking
could
pretty much
a could you just sort of
stride.
Sack out on a seat and coach?
Yes,
that's
I
what I do.
I could have, and I sometimes do that, but this time around I figured I'd treat myself to a like a regular bed and stretch out. After a refreshing, about 1 hour of sleep last night, I was taking it in stride. And but then, and I don't want to get too
Jim
graphic
takes everything
here.
In stride.
Almost everything.
I mean, we know this.
Almost
listen,
everything.
If you listen to his program, you know, things go wrong, records get scratched, things fall down onto the turntables.
Well,
but he always maintains that stoic attitude, you know.
Well,
Got to take it in stride.
Well, there are those at the station here that would more categorize it as not so much taking it in stride as striding all over the dignity of the station, but that's another story.
No, that's why we have the door locked. We keep them outside.
And keep me out, too, most of the time, and I don't blame anybody for that. But the thing is that I went to use some of the plumbing, and it blew up in my face.
Excuse me?
It blew up in my face. And
Toilet blew up in your face?
Yes, it did. It did. Again,
I'm supposed to do that.
I'm not going
to
get overly graphic.
That happened to me once in high school, actually, now that I remember it. It was a urinal, though, but that doesn't make a difference at that point.
Yeah, it's not
you don't want anything in there exploding in your face.
Yeah, it's not too pleasant. You see, the thing is, again, I'm not going to get graphic. I'm just going to say that fortunately...
Oh, get graphic, Jim.
Well, no. Fortunately, I hadn't actually just used it. I was flushing it because I had just kind of, like, cleaned it. Now, you might ask, oh, you cleaned the...
Wait a minute. That's wasting water, Jim. I mean, you're not supposed to...
Ideally, you're not
even supposed to flush more than once every few times.
I know.
Because that way, you know, you save water.
I know. And normally I do. I'm very careful like that. But I discovered when I was given this accommodation last night that apparently it hadn't been completely cleaned. So I was kind of like, you know, disinfecting it a little bit before I used it. And was rinsing the disinfectant throughout. And it just kind of... whooshed in my face, and it was like almost like a geyser. And what happened was I asked the attendant, because I figured that this was not supposed to be part of the accommodations. I didn't think there was like a spectacular water show that was listed as a part of the festivities. And it was explained to me that we had run out of water in our car. That what happens is when the car runs out of water and you use either the sink or the toilet, whatever compressed air there is, and there's a lot of it, takes over anyway,
mm-hmm.
from what I gather, and whatever little water there is suddenly becomes, in effect, a lot of water with a lot of force flying all over the place. When there's the usual adequate supply of water, it goes down where it should. And after that explanation, the attendant then made an announcement to everybody in the car to be very careful not to flush their toilets, to use toilets in other cars because we ran out of water. So I kind of felt that I had provided a service to the other inhabitants of my car by taking it in the face so that they might avoid
that.
Did they
hold you up, like, you know, where they have those flight attendants showing you how to attach your seatbelt? Well, do not use toilet, otherwise this will happen to you.
Well, not really, but that would have been a good idea, actually. So that's what I was ranting and raving about.
One more time. Okay.
You are there.
Oh, yes, I felt every bit of that. So, okay, the thing explodes in your face. Here you are, riding away in the train. So, are you going to sue for damages or what?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll have to think about it.
Well, I would. I mean, were they at least apologetic about it?
I would say somewhere, to some degree. Somewhere. Some of the individuals.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But you're never going to do this again, I assume.
Well, I hope to never... I hope to never have a toilet explode in my face on a train or off a train. Yeah, I'll go along with that. It's,
not many people hope for that.
I wouldn't put it at the top of the list of my favorite activities.
Uh huh.
Probably pretty way down there.
Yeah.
Actually.
I mean, way down.
If somebody said to me, quick, think of something you want to do, the first thing that would pop into my mind is not, I want to have a toilet explode on my face on a cross country train, or you know, on a big intercity high speed train. Whoopee! I'd rather be sitting on a big intercity high speed train, looking out the window, enjoying the scenery, as opposed to praising the plumbing.
So you must be pretty tired.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
But not as much as I thought I'd.
Well, why don't you go home and get some sleep? Because I know you have to go to work tomorrow.
You're right, I do.
Yeah. And we'll see you here in 3 weeks.
Yes, we will. And
we'll do something.
Because we're going to do something.
We're going
to
do something in 3 weeks. We don't know what yet, but we're going to.
Well, I think I kind of do know what we're going to do.
Well, don't tell me.
I won't.
I like surprises.
You'll know then in 3 weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jim, and good luck with all the toilets in your future.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Thank you.
Certainly.
I've signed a pact, though. I happen to know I'm insured against that kind of thing.
Congratulations.
As the trains pass, good name for a soap opera, eh? Let's just say we're going to be doing all kinds of neat things as opposed to what we usually do. We usually do stupid things, but not tonight. Tonight we're doing just neat things, including a riddle, and the riddle is this. And, I guess the first person that wins this, well, I don't know what they'll win. They'll win something, okay? Don't harass me with details, but the important thing is to get the answer right, you know, and that's, you should want to do it for that reason and that reason alone. The riddle is this. We are about, no, that's not we are about, it's something is about to happen, that's it, yes, something is about to happen that has not happened in 110 years. Now, station staff, their relatives, sexual partners, and anything else that could be considered a connection of some sort are not eligible for this. So only our listeners are eligible. And if you call us at 632-6901, you can call us now while Radio Moscow is on, and we'll take your entries then. The first person to get it right, what is about to happen has not happened in 110 years. And this is major, folks. This is major. This is big. I wouldn't kid around with something like this. I really wouldn't. I know you think I would, but I wouldn't. So give us a call at 632-6901 and tell us what is about to happen. And if you don't know, if you're stupid or something, I mean, not because you don't know, you're stupid, but you might be stupid, and you might know, so it doesn't really make a difference what your IQ is. If you don't know, tune in, because we will tell you by midnight, that's for sure. Coming up at 11, we've got tripods. We're going to be confusing some operators around the country. And we'll be, of course, taking your phone calls and looking at interesting items in the news. But first, it's time for Radio Moscow.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. Joe Davis, program director of WBCA in Bay Minette, Alabama, has sent us questions from Baldwin County students. Here is Joe Adamoff to answer the questions.
Well, Mr. Davis asked us, members of the staff, to answer the questions, but I went to school number 112 here in Moscow and recorded a few of the students who speak a little English. Mind you, they have only 45 minutes of English a week, which is not much. Well, let's have the question.
If you could live in the United States, would you? Why and why not?
Well, you know, about 500,000 Soviet citizens have emigrated this year. Far from all, of course, went to the United States. The United States, incidentally, has immigration quotas. Many people leaving the Soviet Union, of course, prefer to go to the United States because of the high standard of living. Our ethnic Germans, for instance, naturally go to Germany. But with the passing of the law on freedom of entry and exit, I suppose we'll see many, many more Soviet people emigrating. But you know, I personally believe that the majority prefer to stay put. After all, every bird always returns to its own nest, however prickly or uncomfortable that nest may be.
And the second question is, when you think of America, what is the first thing you think of?
You know, at school 112, a boy told me that when you mention America, what comes to his mind is Fenimore Cooper, the Wild West. Well, that's his image of America. But I personally see the highways on the outskirts of your cities with brightly colored signs and ads, the supermarkets, the stores, the motels, the service stations. I think of your one-family homes and your well-stocked shopping malls. Some people I spoke to say that when you mention America to them, they think of skyscrapers and the dense traffic on the roads. Other people I spoke to mentioned the people, American people, who look and dress very much like we do.
What do you think of the changes caused by glasnost in the country and your family life?
Well, glasnost means freedom of speech. It means openness. The changes that have taken place in this respect have made the country unrecognizable. On television, in our newspapers, anything and everything is criticized, and mind you, criticized without fear. Prime Minister Ryshkov, President Gorbachev are both criticized. The mechanism of transition to a market economy is criticized and analyzed. Relations between the center and the republics, the sovereignty of the republics. You hear and read no end of pros and cons. The critical food situation and its reasons come in for their share of criticism. Private ownership of land is discussed. The KGB is criticized. What isn't? You name it. But what we do need is to get down to building up a workable economy so as to give our people the essentials needed for a decent life. And you know, when I saw the other day on television that food parcels are being sent to us from Germany and other places, I felt ashamed. Yes, ashamed. It gave me a feeling, oh, I don't know how to explain it. Even, I suppose it is shame and nothing else, because our economy had deteriorated to such a point. One of the world's great powers militarily is receiving food parcels. Yes, we've got to act and to act quickly.
At what age does a child begin school?
Usually at 6 or 7.
How long does the school term last?
If you mean the school year, it begins on September 1st and it ends in May. And it's divided into 4 terms or quarters, which we call them quarters, with vacations of up to 10 days between them. The summer vacations last from June to September. But since we're on the subject of education, a few general facts. All education, including university level, is free. Students at junior colleges, at ordinary colleges, and at universities get grants to take care of their, you know, basic expenses. And education is conducted in our country in the native language of the students, and school is taught in something like 40 languages. High school education, or its equivalent, is compulsory in our country.
And how is your educational system divided?
Our secondary school is 11 years and not 12, like it is in your country. Elementary school is the lowest level and lasts for 3 or 4 years. Then comes the second level, or the equivalent, I suppose, to your junior high. That's 5 years. Well, what else? About 3/4 of the curriculum is compulsory. The rest is left to the choice of the teacher, who is free to use his or her imagination and to devise his or her distinctive methods of tuition. So you see, the teacher has leeway. Now, the third level of our education, or the equivalent of your high school, is 3 years of instruction. And every student chooses his or her subject that he or she wants to major in, like the sciences, humanities, biology, languages, and so on. And there are no more than about 5 compulsory subjects. Students study 6 days a week. Sunday is free.
We interrupt this program to advise you to stop calling us because we have a winner. We have a winner to the question, and we will reveal the answer after Moscow Mailbag is over. Thanks so much for your participation. And now, back to Moscow Mailbag.
And every lesson is 45 minutes, with intermissions from 10 to 20 minutes. Some schools, I understand, have been experimenting with a 5-day week and 40-minute lessons. Since you ask how is our educational system divided, I must mention that we also have vocational schools and technical schools and what we call training schools. Among the training schools, we have teachers training schools, medical, music, art, theater, and merchant marine schools. The technical schools train something like train students in 500 or so trades, electricians, goods managers, bookkeepers, and what have you.
What Russian foods do you like to eat?
Well, I asked students of school number 112 here in Moscow, and here is the response I got.
Fried potatoes.
Okay, what else?
And I like to eat borscht and shi.
Could you explain what borscht is?
Borscht is a soup from vegetables.
Vegetable soup.
And vegetable soup.
What is your favorite dish?
I have no favorite food.
You eat anything that Mama and Papa gives you, huh?
Yes. My favorite food is Georgian.
Georgian food?
Yes.
Like shish kebab?
No, like khachapuri.
Khachapuri?
Yes. That's a pie with cheese.
Uh-huh. With cheese baked into it.
Yes, that's wonderful. And I like Georgian bread. That's very tasty.
Well, let me give you only a few of the dishes people in our country, that is the Soviet Union, and not only in Russia, like. Blini, or flat pancakes made of wheat with yeast and fried on a pan, are very popular. They're very tender, and they're served with melted butter or sour cream or caviar. That is, if you can get some caviar. Or sometimes with salmon. Some like to eat their blini pancakes with marinated mushrooms. Now, the first dish in any Russian lunch is soup. Most delicious are Siberian meat dumplings, known as pelmeni. They're balls of ground meat with seasoning wrapped in plain pastry. They're usually boiled in hot water and served with melted butter, sour cream, or vinegar. Borscht, the soup that the girl just mentioned, is a classical dish of the Ukraine. It's a thick soup with a combination of chopped beet, cabbage, and many other vegetables, seasoned with fried pork fat and sour cream. Georgia, in the Caucasus, boasts mouth-burning spicy soups like harcho, made of chopped lamb, rice, tomatoes, garlic, and other vegetables. Shish kebabs are popular in the Caucasus and in Central Asia. Vareniki are very popular in the Ukraine. They are prepared with dough stuffed with sour cherries. They're usually boiled and served with sour cream and sugar.
And what American foods do you like?
Well, again, the answer comes from students of school 112.
In Moscow, we have the American restaurant McDonald's, and I liken it hamburgers, Big Mac, Sprite, Coke, and Pepsi.
Pepsi?
Yes.
And you?
I also like to go to McDonald's, but I can't say that I like it very much. And I also like American ice cream. That's very tasty. Now there is a Baskin-Roberts ice cream in Moscow, and that's wonderful.
What were your thoughts on the tearing down of the Berlin Wall?
Most people here agree that it was the only sane thing to do. After all, you cannot keep a nation divided forever. Secondly, each country, each nation, has the right to choose its own form of government, its own political and social system, and has the right to self-determination. After all, this is all part of Mr. Gorbachev's new thinking. We are, yes, witnessing a new era in Europe. The Cold War has come to an end, and we must now strengthen our common home, which is Europe, to which we always add the United States and Canada. Now, I want to also say that United Germany's armed forces will be 370,000 men, which is half of what Federal Germany had before. The new Germany will never have any weapons of mass destruction, that is, nuclear weapons, chemical or biological weapons. Her eastern borders are there to stay and are inviolable. So I think there is no need to fear a resurgence of German militarism. After all, the Germany of Chancellor Kohl is not the Germany of Hitler, just like the Soviet Union today is not the Soviet Union of Stalin's days.
Do you get to travel much? If you do, where do you go?
The students of School 112 told me they sometimes go to visit relatives and friends in different parts of the country. They sometimes go for a vacation on the Black Sea coast with their parents or on a cruise down the Volga River. Some students of school number 112, I think it was about a year ago, went on an exchange visit to England. Now they plan to visit Toronto, Canada. So you see, the new thinking is felt here, too.
I was wondering, what kind of music do you listen to?
Well, let the students speak for themselves.
I enjoy pop music. I enjoy American music.
What kind of American music?
I enjoy, for instance, Madonna, Pink Floyd, Simple Minds. I don't enjoy Jackson. No, I don't.
Well, I suppose students of school number 112 are typical, but it is also a fact, and you cannot deny this, that at many symphony concerts and concerts of serious music, you'll find plenty of teenagers. That is a fact.
What intrigues you most about our country?
Well, I think the thing that intrigues us most, by us, I mean people in the Soviet Union, about the United States, is the overall efficiency of the country, your level of technical know-how, your high standards of living. Well, don't for a minute think that we do not know the negative or shadowy sides of your society. We do. But somehow I believe that the positive outweighs the negative by far.
Who are the five most admired people in your country?
Well, let's see what our students have to say.
I think the five very popular people in our country is Boris Yeltsin, Anatoly Sobchak, Telman Gdan, Nikolai Ivanov, and Mikhail Gorbachev.
Well, I'll explain to you. Mr. Yeltsin heads the Russian parliament. He's a progressive politician. Sobchak is also progressive and democratic. He is the mayor of Leningrad. Gdlyan and Ivanov are two investigators who brought to light mountains of corruption in Central Asia. And now some think they ought to be tried for having very often overstepped or violated the law in exposing this corruption in Central Asia. But they enjoy mass support and were elected deputies to parliament.
What occupations carry status in your country?
I asked the students this question, and their answer kind of surprised me, you know. They said a member of a cooperative and a manager. By manager, they mean a manager of a joint enterprise or a stock company or any of the new bodies springing up in our country. What is surprising is that both jobs are those of the new market economy, towards which our country is trying to move. Or maybe the students named these two occupations, that of a member of a cooperative and a manager, because they carry with them much higher pay than the others. Who knows?
And last question is, what kind of weather do you normally have?
Well, here in November, here in Moscow, it was a few degrees below and a few degrees above freezing. The average January temperature here in Moscow is about 13 degrees Fahrenheit. But last year it thawed all winter long and was just about, well, again, a few degrees above and below freezing. Though, of course, it can, in some winters, get as cold as minus 45 degrees Fahrenheit here in Moscow. In our Central Asian republics, it can get very hot. In Termez, in Central Asia, it can get as hot as 122 Fahrenheit. On our Black Sea coast, we have a subtropical climate with cypress trees, magnolias, palm trees, tea plantations, and citrus fruit.
That was Joe Adamov answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on the show are always welcome.
Out of the aeroplane stepped Chamberlain with a condemned stare. But we all cheered wildly, a photograph was taken as he waved a piece of paper in the air. Now the disco machine lives in Munich and we are all friends. And I slip on my Italian dancing shoes as the evening descends. And the bells take their toll once again in a victory chime. Names, no matter who you claim to be, as innocent as babies, a mad dog with rabies, you're still a part of some conspiracy. Meanwhile, there's a light over the ocean, burning brighter than the sun. And a man sits alone in a bar and says, oh God, what have we done? And the bells take their toll once again in a victory chime.
Speaking of peace in our time, well, we're going to have some fun in our time, and the fun is coming up this Monday night. Wow.
Party on New Year's Eve with the Grateful Dead, live from Oakland Coliseum, California, on WUSC Stony Brook, 90.1. Show starts at 10 p.m. ¶¶
Yeah, that's coming up this Monday night, New Year's Eve, here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And yes, we got a winner to our contest, and we'll be getting to the answer to that in just a couple of minutes. Again, if you want to continue racking your brains, that's fine with me, because we're not going to tell you the answer for a couple of minutes. Basically, it was something that's going to happen, something that's about to happen that has not happened in 110 years. And it's something pretty big. Pretty damn big. Yeah, I'll say it, okay? Because it's true. And on this program, we only tell you things that are true. And in addition to telling you things that are true, we also debut things here. And one very important thing that I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of in coming weeks on USB. Well, people pouring soda, but also people breaking things. And all kinds of knives being sharpened in preparation for a feast to come. And people getting beeped while they're sharpening knives. And all kinds of neat things like that. We have a sound effect CD here. And I'm going to be playing the sound effect CD for as long as it'll go. Oh, this is a lot of fun. CDs are amazing. You know, you can store so much on a CD and just keep playing it forever. Oh, the fun we have. The program is Brain Damage. Our phone number is 632-6901. And let's just turn that down a little bit. Hey, you know, the phone bill's going to go up. Yeah, that's right. The phone bills are going up as of January 1st. You know, I knew this was coming. I knew they were going to be raising the phone bill, the phone rates. And they announced it about a week or so ago. But they didn't tell us until yesterday just exactly what it means. So we figured we'd pass along that information to you. This is courtesy of Newsday for translating their mumbo-jumbo into actual numbers. Starting this Tuesday, residential phone customers will see their bills rise an average of 3.4 to 4.7%. It could have been a lot worse than that. I don't know if everybody remembers when... that smells good. I don't know if people remember when they first proposed a rate increase. Well, they did, and they asked for $831.7 million. They wound up getting $250 million. So, could have been a lot worse. Things that you'll probably notice, no more free information. Each call to information will cost 45 cents. Used to be that you got two free directory assistance calls per month. You know, something that nobody is mentioning here, and I'm curious about it. You know, from payphones, you can call New York Telephone Information. You can call anywhere in the state. If you're at a payphone, you can call 411, and it doesn't cost anything. You can call information in Buffalo, and since that's still New York Telephone, it doesn't cost anything. But if you call anywhere else, it costs money. And, of course, if you call overseas, it's free. One of the proposals that... that New York Telephone put into their rate increase proposal was a charge for that. And I haven't seen anywhere if that charge went through. So let's see if an operator knows this. I mean, an operator should know this, but that's no guarantee. It never has been in the past. Let's see what we can glean out of this.
I'd like to join New Telephone.
Yes, hi. Is this the operator?
This is it.
Great. I was wondering if you could help me with something. I know the rates are going up on January 1st.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
It's awful, I know. But I was curious, do you know anything about the information from payphones? I know it's free now. Is it going to be free after January 1st?
Yeah, I think so. They're not going to start charging for that for like another couple of years, I don't think.
Oh, great. Well, you've made my day.
I'm pretty sure, but don't quote me, but I'm almost positive.
Okay, we won't quote you. Thank you very much.
Have a good New Year.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
We'll just put you on the radio. We won't quote you. Don't worry about that. Is that done? Okay. Something buzzed over there. All right. And so much for the phone company. They're all a bunch of nice people, though. You know, they really are. They try. One day, they'll succeed. Oh, there's one other thing I just wanted to point out, though. One other thing I wanted to point out from this paper. And that was what some moron who works in the phone company said. Actually, I don't want to prejudice people by calling somebody a moron. Much better that you reach that conclusion on your own. The cost of touch-tone service will be declining from $2.29 a month to $1.53. so more customers can take advantage of the growing use of information services requiring the technology. Of course, the touchtone fee, we've been through this a few times, the touchtone fee only allows your touchtones to work on their lines. In other words, they tell the computer to ignore your tones if you don't pay for them. And your tones will still work, they just won't work on their network. Now, according to this guy named Hopley, and I don't see his first name anywhere because he was quoted way in the beginning of the article, and I can't find where he was first quoted. I am trying to look even as... Oh, here we go. John Hopley, New York Telephone's Managing Director of Pricing and Costing. This is what he said, okay? He said... Oh, here we go. He said that it costs the company 25 to 30 cents to provide touchtone service. 25 to 30 cents to provide touchtone service. Now, I guess I could tear that apart by saying, well, how come you're charging $2.29 for something that costs you 25 cents? I mean, that sounds like 10 times the amount of what it costs. That's quite a profit there. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't cost them anything. I mean, every piece of equipment installed in the phone company is built to handle touchtones. I mean, you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. Probably most brain surgeons wouldn't be able to figure it out anyway. But it's not fair to take advantage of people and claim that something costs money. I mean, look, you make the tones, right? You're the one that creates the tones. They're in your phone. The phone company doesn't make them. You do. You should charge them for allowing your... for being privileged enough to have your tones go through their network. You know, it's just not fair. It's not fair at all, and we shouldn't take this. All right. Glad I got that out. What else? These sound effects are awfully annoying. Especially, I'm remembering Jim Wiener's story now. Okay. How about this? This is also from the Washington Post. The National Rifle Association... I'll stop that. People in the studio are making all kinds of gestures that I'm not even sure what they mean, but that's a good one, though. Okay, the National Rifle Association. Let's hear what they have to say first, okay? The National Rifle Association, having beaten back attempts by Congress to restrict semi-automatic assault rifles, has set its sights on a new target. It has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the ban on private ownership of fully automatic machine guns. Do you get the feeling this is all like a David Lynch reality here? Why in God's name do they want people to have fully automatic machine guns? Any ideas? Does anybody out there have a clue? I'd sure love to hear it. The move has outraged just about everybody, but mostly law enforcement groups and gun control advocates who charge that it shows blatant disregard for public safety and law enforcement officers on the street. But some legal scholars say a Supreme Court ruling on the request could clear up one of the more contentious issues of constitutional law, the precise meaning of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to bear and the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, according to Police Chief David B. Mitchell, Prince George County of Maryland, he says the Supreme Court shouldn't even dignify the petition by hearing this case. As patrol officers routinely stopping traffic violators, he said, we're taking semi-automatic Uzis off the street. We're taking Mac 11s off the street right now. We are not equipped to face people armed with machine guns. They have no place in civilized society. But NRA lawyers argue that broad constitutional issues are at stake. You don't see these people standing up for burning the flag, do you? No, that's harmful. That's dangerous. That could really hurt people. But there's no reason why I can't carry an automatic machine gun with me. I mean, that's just my right to be an American and to be, a nice, normal person. Whew. NRA lawyers argue that broad constitutional issues are at stake. In their brief defending a Georgia gunmaker's application to manufacture and possess a machine gun, attorneys for the NRA's Firearms Civil Rights Legal Defense Fund, not like they squeeze civil rights in there, NRA's Firearms Civil Rights Legal Defense Fund called the four-year-old prohibition the first ban on firearms possession by law-abiding citizens in American history.
At this time of the bicentennial of the Bill of Rights, this court should not allow a fundamental infringement on the right of the people to keep arms guaranteed by the Second Amendment. At first glance, the machine gun issue may seem absurd. Not even the NRA argues such guns have a legitimate hunting purpose. The NRA's position has been opposed by the Justice Department, which recently filed its brief with the Supreme Court, accepting a lower court ruling that the Second Amendment does not absolutely bar all congressional regulation of firearms. But the Supreme Court has not addressed the issue of the meaning of the Second Amendment in more than 50 years, and in fact, they're not doing too good on the First Amendment either. It's about time they clear these things up. And I'd like to know what people out there think of the Second Amendment and what it really means. I mean, for God's sake, how can anybody argue? I mean, nuclear weapons. Why don't we all carry around nuclear weapons, too? That's something that you need these days to protect yourself. I don't know. Tripods in 4 minutes, folks. So if you're starting to starting to feel depressed, that'll cheer you up, because that shows you how depressed people can really get. Hundreds of American Indians on horseback arrived yesterday at the site of the 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre on the eve of its centennial. How many of you out there knew that there was a massacre 100 years ago right here in this country? Not very many, I can see that. Religious ceremonies and other observations were planned for today at the site of the final bloody chapter in the 19th century U.S.-Indian Wars. 50 riders set out on December 15th from Standing Rock Indian Reservation in North Central South Dakota? Oh, come on. Others joined along the way. Excuse me a second. It's been bothering me all day long. About 300 riders were expected to arrive at Wounded Knee at the conclusion of the 220-mile trip. Now, the event that they're commemorating occurred December 29th, 1890, when U.S. cavalry troops killed hundreds of Sioux men, women, and children at Wounded Knee. The exact number is a point of contention. The federal government says about 150 died. The Sioux say as many as 400. And that's something that's a part of American history that we should never forget. All right. We're going to talk about the Mideast and the smoky trains and all that kind of thing. We're also going to have the answer to the question of what happened 100... No, what's about to happen now that has not happened for 110 years. Hopefully the person that got the answer... We'll squeeze in on the phone line, 632-6901, call us and reveal it himself or herself. And the rest of you, give us a call and let us know how you feel at the end of 1990 as we start a new year and start a whole lot of new adventures. And while the tripods are on, of course, we won't be playing sound effects because that's disrespectful. And we're not going to do that. Last time we dissed the tripods, it came back to haunt us, so we're not going to make that mistake again. It's 10:59. Tripods start at 11 o'clock, so try to fill the time by moving things around in the studio a little bit. Neaten that up right there. Give out the phone number one more time. It's area code 516-63... Oh, why waste time with me? Let's have somebody work this. You know, I got transferred.
New York telephone.
Yes, hi. I want to call the radio program right now on WUSB in Stony Brook, and I need the phone number for their studios, please.
9-3-1-8-0.
Daniel, let me finish.
Area code 718.
What?
3-8-9-3-1-8-0. If you need further assistance,
what did she just give me?
Operator will return.
I don't believe this. This is most incredible here. How did I get something in 718 area code? I called 411 local information. Do we have a phone number?
Sorry, Telephone Asia. Can I help further?
Yes, hi. I'd like to know what the number is you just gave me. What's that for?
The operator gave you Richard Weecat or something like that. W-E-A-C-A-K.
That's interesting. I don't know why she did that. I asked for the phone number for WUSB Radio in Stony Brook, New York.
That's Long Island.
That's Long Island, yeah, for the studio line.
You have to dial Long Island information.
Well, I dialed 411.
You have to dial 1-516-555-1212.
Yeah, but I'm on Long Island, and I dialed 411. It rang twice. It rang once, and then it transferred itself somewhere else, and I got you.
Where in Long Island is it located?
It's in Stony Brook.
What is the name? WQ what?
No, it's WUSB. It's a radio station, one of those non-commercial ones.
Suffolk.
Yeah, Suffolk County.
Okay.
See, she can do it.
Number 632-6500.
Is that the studio line?
That's an office.
Yeah, I need the studio line.
632-6901.
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time, please?
632-6901.
And the area code?
516.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I got my money's worth for that. What's that poor guy that gave us the phone number for? I don't understand this. How did we get 718 information? And that proves something to you, folks. That proves that you can somehow get connected to 718 information by calling 411 here. But it also proves that they can get you 516 information. I don't know how they did it, but they were 718 information. I asked for something. I was persistent enough, and I got it. So there. And they won't soon forget this. Okay, it's 2 minutes after 11 o'clock. Our phone number is 632-6901. Time for the tripods here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Radio Free Long Island, in resuscitation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. As we join our friends today, we see Howard, Kathy, Pop, and Charlie all heading into New York City, where Howard and Kathy will be dropped off for their trip to France. And as we look in...
Oh, the Big Apple. It's been such a long while since we've been in New York, hasn't it, Kathy?
Oh, yes, Howard. It's been at least a few months.
Doesn't it look fascinating? All those people.
Oh, yes.
Each living a totally different life, all going their own separate ways, and carrying their bags and their briefcases, thinking their own special thoughts, doing whatever comes to their minds.
Yeah, and every one of them is walking in front of our car. Go on, get out of the way. We've got a boat to catch.
Come on, Pop, calm down. We've got plenty of time.
Yeah, the boat doesn't leave for another 10 minutes. Yeah, we're practically there.
Are you sure you don't want to come along with us, Pop?
Hell no! What am I going to do in France? As soon as you folks leave, I'm hopping on a jet that'll take me straight to Big Bear City.
Well, don't get lost out there. And say hello to all the other tripods for us.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back out there again sometime, Howard.
I know, someday. When things have calmed down a little bit, I'll...
Sorry about that, folks. It's one of those damn taxi drivers.
Those confounded devils don't know how to drive. They should be shot.
Well, reprimanded, at least. Wow, you have to have a lot of patience to drive in the city, don't you?
We can't thank you enough for taking us in like this in your car, Charlie.
All right, I'll mention it, folks. I'm just so happy I finally managed to get this old Bulgarian car to run.
I don't know how you did it, Charlie.
It's running like a charm now. But you know, every time we pass a street corner, I see people pointing and laughing at us.
Yeah, this car certainly looks funny on the outside.
They don't point and laugh in Bulgaria.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with it, Charlie.
Oh, no, they didn't mean it.
It just looks so strange. Like a big bug crawling along the street.
Oh, look, we're almost there. I think that's our boat now, Kathy. See the big blue one over there?
Oh, yes, I see it. My goodness, it really is a big one. What's wrong?
I don't know. The car doesn't sound like it's in the best of shape.
Yes, it's falling apart. That's what it's doing. Get me out of this confounded thing. Get me out.
Calm down, Pop. Calm down.
Oh, Charlie. I think the car is really hurt.
Oh, rats. I wonder what went wrong. I had everything figured out so well.
Oh, like hell you did.
I rebuilt every part of this car from scratch.
Oh, I guess you found a few parts you didn't
rebuild. Brand new Bulgarian tires and a new Bulgarian front end.
You should have gotten an American front end.
Transmission was Hungarian, but it's the same. What are you laughing at, Mr. Tripod? This is not funny.
Oh, it's just so funny. You and the Bulgarian car falling apart in the street. You again.
No, Pop, come on. Behave yourself. What time is it, Kathy?
Oh, we have about only 3 minutes to go.
With the traffic jam we're causing. We really should get on that boat before it starts going to France without us.
Oh, no, we can't just leave Charlie and Pop here with a broken-down boat.
That's our boat. We're going to have to get moving, Kathy.
You're right, Howard. We're sorry. We can't help you, Charlie.
That's okay. Here, don't forget your bags.
Oh yes. Thanks so much for driving us, Charlie.
Have a good time.
But you be careful in Big Bear City, Pop.
So long, Pop. Ooh, so long, Charlie. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes. We'll call you on the telephone from
France. Have fun.
Oh, boy, we're going to have to hurry. This stuff is heavy.
Oh, sure is. I'm going to have a heart attack.
That's the platform. I think we're going to make it.
Yeah, they haven't closed the doors yet. We should make it.
Okay, come on. We're going to have to run this last stretch.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, we did it.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, too soon. Here's the conductor now.
All right, here's the conductor.
Watch the closing doors. Next stop is France.
And so Howard and Kathy are off at last on their way to France. And you'll want to tune in next week when we hear the conductor say,
"All tickets, please."
That's next week on The Exciting Adventures of the Tripod Family, presented in conjunction with Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
There's one thing I must say before I go. I love you, you know. I'll be thinking of...
Hello, this is Teresa Zapolska inviting you to tune in to the Polka Country USA show every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
I love you all the while. With your cute little ways, won't you promise that you'll save your...
Yes, that's coming up tomorrow, as always, here on WUSB, 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. Boy, that was an exciting adventure of the tripods. You know, I wish I was on my way to France right now. I could sure use a good time, a break from the mundane atrocities of life. The mundane atrocities of life. I like that. Our number is 632-6901, and we're about to reveal the answer to the question. The answer to the question of what is about to happen that has not happened in 110 years. But first, we must resume our sound effects. Oh, they're good today, aren't they? Yes. We have Japanese food here tonight. That's why I'm not talking much. This is good, isn't it? Good stuff.
Yeah.
Did it have seaweed salad? Seaweed salad is something else. Let me introduce my friend Seth here. Hey, Seth.
There.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
You don't have headphones on, so you can't...
I can't hear my voice.
You can't hear your voice on the air. You get feedback, and you don't hear the...
sound effect.
Toilet or whatever it is in the background. Yeah, we're playing sound effects records and having seafood salad. Seaweed salad, not seafood salad. This is the famous shower sequence. Yes, seaweed salad in the shower. Can you say that 3 times fast? We all thought we'd suffocate. "Now I know what dying will be like," said Joanne Egan of Massapequa Park, Long Island, as she described her ordeal beneath the streets of downtown Brooklyn. "There is a yellow light, then a muffled boom," said John Casson of Park Slope.
Egan and Casson were in the front car of the Manhattan-bound number 3 train when it stopped just short of the Clark Street station. At first, no one really thought much of it. You get used to the subway not working. But the booms continued, and as clouds of thick, acrid smoke began pouring through the train windows, some people panicked, said Egan. The rescue operation was horrendous, she said. We were in there for 40 minutes before they backed the train to Borough Hall. It was almost an hour before we got off the train. Keith McLaughlin was in the third car of the train. The car was packed, he said, and when the smoke started coming, everyone was trying to get out at once. You know, it's a good thing there wasn't one of those newer trains, you know, where you can't get from car to car, where they lock the doors so you can't get out. Whew. Wasn't one of those, but it was bad enough because you couldn't get out. Couldn't get out of the train. Mabel Williams said, when the smoke started coming in, I started coughing and tried to get more air, but there was nowhere to go. We all thought we'd suffocate. Harold Gold, who got on the train at Atlantic Avenue, said that in his car, a young man in a trench coat stood up and tried to calm his fellow riders. He was trampled to death. No. It's not unlikely, let's put it that way. As the smoke poured in, everybody started coughing. Eyes started tearing. People took out handkerchiefs, napkins, scarves, and held them over their mouths. A woman started to cry, I'm pregnant. It's not like I'm about to give birth or anything dramatic like that, but I do wish to get out of here. No, okay, she didn't say all that either, but she did say she wanted to get out of here and she was pregnant. I mean, can you imagine if she was giving birth? I mean, that would have been something, too, but it wasn't a typical number 3 subway ride. Now, according to Casson, the train crew's attempts to evacuate passengers calmly only added to the confusion. The motorman told people to head towards the Borough Hall side of the train. Those of us in the front of the train knew which way that was, towards the back. But people in the middle weren't sure, so it was mass confusion with people bumping into each other. Not saying, excuse me. Courtesy is contagious, so is panic. McLaughlin also criticized the motorman. He made everybody panic, running through the car and yelling. But Egan said, I thought the motorman did a good job. He had to be as scared as we were. He did as good a job being as scared as everybody else. There was no disagreement. There must be a time to panic when you see the motorman come running by you. You know, running by in the opposite direction of where the train is headed. You know, something's wrong. Anyway, there was no disagreement about what awaited passengers when they finally reached the snow-covered streets. Now imagine this. You're downstairs in a smoke-filled train, smoke-filled subway, trying to get out. Nobody knows what's going on. The power's out. No lights. Jam-packed. Filled with smelly, smoky people. You finally manage to struggle out of the train and get up into the street. And what happens? You expect to be interviewed on Eyewitness News? You expect the mayor to come up and ask how you are? Do you expect EMS to, to gather around you and take your pulse and all that? No. You know what they got? They got nothing. There was nobody there. They came up into the street, and the street was filled with snow. And everybody was going about their business, and nobody cared. Nobody even knew they were there. Emil Last said, I couldn't believe there was no one there to help us or give oxygen. She rode in the rear car and was one of the first passengers evacuated. People were passed out all over the place. I'm sorry, that's a he. I thought Emil was a female name. Excuse me, what do I know? People were passed out all over the place and running and coughing. So I ran up to the street, and there was no one there either. When we came out, there was one EMS truck. That's emergency medical service, by the way. It took 15 minutes before... Before anyone arrived to help us. 15 minutes. Then I had to wait another half hour to get oxygen. It's not the kind of thing you can just, wait for. It must have been 20 minutes before any help arrived, Casson said. At least 40 passengers were lined up along the median strip of Montague Street, still waiting for medical attention when media photographers arrived. A mobile emergency room pulled up. without EMS personnel. The driver bounded out and shouted, "Is there anyone here who knows how to operate this thing?" EMS Chief David Diggs defended his agency's response. Considering the weather conditions and the distances they had to travel, EMS crews made really good time, he said. Responding in this type of weather is just as complicated as driving your car. Right. Except they're supposed to be better. Yeah, I was driving my car in the thick of the storm a couple of days ago. You know I go out for this kind of thing. And I was driving around as the snow was pouring onto the street. I'll tell you, I've driven in cars that aren't supposed to go out in that kind of weather. And if you know what you're doing, you can always manage to get through somehow. And these people are supposed to know what they're doing. Sad to think that they don't. Anyway, for the 900 passengers that had to survive that ordeal yesterday, questions about the city's response paled in importance beside more personal worries. Holding up a white scarf with a dark brown stain that she said came from her exhalations, Egan wondered about the long-term consequences of breathing so much smoke. "I have a burning in my chest," West said. "All I want to know is what was in the smoke." You know, it's incredible to think that we live in a place like New York, you know, a place where we're supposedly at the forefront of the world, you know, in technology and civilization and social life, all that kind of thing. And yet, we might as well be walking in the streets of Bombay or something, or now Calcutta. Let's be real descriptive here, because we don't know what to do with the money in this society that we create. Here we are over in the Persian Gulf, you know, spending billions and billions of dollars just to make a statement of some sort that fewer and fewer people are really getting. And what happens? There's not enough money to there's not enough money to keep the subways running. Let's see if I can find something here that illustrates this pretty well. There are so many things that were supposed to be working that were not working. Okay, here we go. First of all, the fire was started by snow. Snow fell off the train and caused a cable to spark and burst into flames. At 9:13, the motorman of the train that stopped contacted the Transit Authority Command Center at J Street. Officials there contacted the fire department, and at 9:15 a.m., the first of 40 units and 150 firefighters were dispatched to the Clark Street Station and to the Wall Street Station in Manhattan. The first engine company was on the scene 4 minutes later. Okay, fine and dandy. 9:22 a.m., police received a radio call alerting them to a fire and smoke in the subway tunnel at Clark and Henry Streets. The city's EMS was contacted at 9:25, but EMS and police officials were told there were no injuries and that the smoke condition was not serious. First ambulance crew arrived near the scene at 9:30 a.m. 4 minutes later, transit officials received an unconfirmed report of the number 3 train being struck by another train. A second radio transmission seconds later said the report was inaccurate. 9:37 a.m., the fire department sounded a second alarm after learning that smoke was filtering out of the Manhattan side of the IRT tunnel. The first report that the fire was started by the exploding wire came over the air at 9:43 a.m., but emergency officials did not yet realize how badly the smoke was affecting the trapped riders. And, that doesn't really illustrate the, that illustrates incompetence pretty much, but it doesn't illustrate the point I was trying to make here. Okay, what do we got here? Hold on a second while I attempt to find the correct page here. Such a big story to... These are excerpts from today's Newsday, by the way. Okay. Transit officials sent the fire department to the scene of the fire at Clark Street without telling them the passengers would be evacuated a quarter of a mile away at the Borough Hall station. So they all showed up at the wrong station. EMS workers who are unable to go into smoky conditions because they have no self-contained breathing apparatus had to wait until patients were brought to them. Furthermore, they were not informed of the magnitude of the fire until after the train had been evacuated. Right. Here it is. While confusion gripped rescue workers and smoke filled the subways, four super-clearing fans that could have drawn the smoke from the tunnel... four super-clearing fans that could have drawn the smoke from the tunnel remained out of order. Officials said the fans... set up 400 yards north of the Clark Street station have been out of order for 6 years. 6 years. The Transit Authority had repeatedly promised to repair them, but said a need for a new design as well as budgetary constraints prevented them from replacing the fans. Budgetary constraints. Budgetary constraints. Every way you look, budgetary constraints. Can't do this, can't do that. We can't have anything. We have to cut back. Everywhere we look, we're cutting back. Closing things down, shutting off services, turning down the lights. I mean, yeah, turning down lights is a good idea, but not in places that are heavily traveled. And we're seeing more and more. This whole university here is shut down. People are being told not to come into work. People that serve essential posts. We are all suffering. We're suffering in educational institutions. We're suffering in mass transit. We're suffering in our day-to-day lives. And why is this? Why is the economy falling apart? Why are we heading into something so depressing as another depression? Well, I can't say I have the answers. But I can point to a few problems, and I think when you spend so much money on something that you're not sure you really need, you know, I think that's a major problem. And I don't know if we need to be spending so many billions of dollars to send people overseas and, A, sit around and do nothing, and B, run around and get killed. I mean, both of those options really suck, I think. All right, enough about me. Let's take our weekly look at Albania. Let's get some phone calls. Then we have a couple of calls, but we want a full switchboard, and then we will start. Tell you what, we get three more calls. I'll go immediately to the phone, and I'll stop all this blabbering about various things. But you got to call now, 632-6901, area code 516. And we'll spend the remainder of our time on the phone. Let's take a quick look at Albania here. The Rip Van Winkle of Europe has stirred at last. Can you believe this? They're talking about Albania as the Rip Van Winkle. Well, we only need one more call. One more call, 632-6901, and then we can get on to what's on your mind. The vanguard of vagabonds who plunge into the tiny nation at the mouth of the Adriatic will enjoy mountain splendors to rival the Alps, befuddled donkeys leading their carts to market, and a fleeting opportunity to walk through the most primitive society in Europe. That's an insult, isn't it? I think it's an insult. Hey, one more call, folks. There's one person out there that's not calling. Okay, there he is. All right. Well, that's from Let's Go Europe, and if you want to read about Albania, they include Albania for the first time, I think. Let's Go Europe, 1991. Let's go to Albania together. I promise, folks, if I go to Albania this year, I'll bring a tape recorder, and when I come back, if I come back, we'll all share in the mystery. Oh, no, that doesn't count. No, that doesn't. The person hung up. No, I didn't mean call up and then hang up just to make the light light up. I mean, I can do that myself. No, call up and stay on the line and be a part of the show, okay? You don't want to be a part of the show? Okay. Go tune to some other station and just, you know, drive to the tunes or something. But on this radio program, we don't ask you to participate. We demand it. All right. But I mean, I'm not yelling at the other people on the line. I appreciate their presence there. I mean, we are going to get to each and every one of you. But I just don't like to see that. I just don't like to see people, you know, stick their head in the door and say, hi, I'm here, and think that that counts for something if they don't say anything worthwhile or try to participate. So, okay, we have another person on the line, 632-6901. Hopefully this person... Oh, great, now we just lost somebody else on line four. And people are playing games with me here. I don't much appreciate that. So we have an open line. It's show policy. I can't do anything about it, folks. It's written into the contract. I cannot take phone calls until all five lines are lit. We have one open line, so take that open line, please. 632-6901. Aren't these sound effects just the most annoying thing? Oh. Here on WUSB in Stony Brook. Man, I cannot believe what we're hearing here. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, the things that modern technology can bring. All right. By the way, you're going to have to deal with sound effects as you're talking, but that's something that goes without saying here on this station. The program is Brain Damage. And let's see who's out there. Good evening.
Hello.
Yes, the phone started ringing as soon as you picked up, but... what's up?
I got a real good surprise for you tonight.
A real good surprise?
Yeah, I think it was last month you all tried to call up an address in Iraq.
Yeah?
Didn't get through. Well, I got the number for the Iraqi embassy in Washington, D.C. for you.
Well, I'll bet you... What do you have to do? Call Washington Information for that?
Oh, just flip it through the pages in my Soldier of Fortune magazine over here.
Uh-huh.
And they listed it for all the kind citizens to give a ring and say what they like.
Well, I guess where's public service of any, so why don't you give the number out over the air, and after people talk here, maybe they'll want to talk there and have something to say.
All right, good people, grab yourself a pen and pencil over here. Area code 202-483-7500. All right, you figure they got it now?
All right, why don't you say it one more time?
Area code 202-483-7500.
Can you believe they got a 00 number?
Yeah.
I mean, that means they got pull, you know?
I even got their address over here, too.
Okay, what's their address?
All right, first line is Iraqi Embassy. Second line, 1801. P period, and the abbreviation for street, NW. Third line, Washington, D.C., 20036.
How about that?
Yep.
Well, okay, you've passed that first assignment admirably. Now I have a second assignment for you.
Yeah.
I need you to get me the phone number of the U.S. Embassy in Iraq.
In Iraq?
Yeah.
That's going to take a little work to get that one. But
actually, you know,
it
might not be that hard, because that number might be listed in this country in quite a few places. In fact, you might be able to call an embassy here and just ask them what it is.
You know, that might just work.
That's crazy enough to just might work, you know? So why don't you give that a shot? If you find something, give us a call back.
Yeah.
All right?
You figuring giving Iraq a call tonight?
Well, we can try, you know. We've tried before, but it never seems to even attempt to go through.
This might work. Just when your guy answers, ask him if he works at the 7-Eleven or the Getty. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I do. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem.
Okay, 632-6901. That's what I like to see. I like to see people using their brains and being constructive and pitching in some information. We need numbers. We need access points. It's the only way to learn things and the only way to have fun at the same time. Good evening.
Hi, I was driving home from work tonight, and I heard you, and I said, I don't have BAI on. And I'm in Smithtown, so I'm delighted. I listened to your program on BAI, and I'm glad you're local. But the second reason why I'm calling is it just a complaint. I don't know. When you were talking about the subway, I recalled about a month ago I had taken a bunch of kids up to Boston on a bus.
Right.
Charter bus, very big, very visible. And unbeknownst to any of us, there was a little girl who had an epileptic seizure, quite bad.
Oh, boy.
We called the police. We called everybody, all kinds of two-way radios. It took 40 minutes for somebody to reach the bus, and it wasn't even anybody from the local enforcement. It was a Good Samaritan kind of thing sponsored by a bank. I was appalled. I couldn't believe that. It's like the subway. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, you know, that kind of thing, I've noticed it. It seems to be increasing in occurrences. People call the police, and it takes forever for them to get there. They don't show up at all.
And then they made this weak excuse. Well, we thought you were on Central Street or something in Hartford. You know, they would have been better off saying, I'm sorry, we made a mistake, than trying to cover their tracks. It was embarrassing.
Was this something that you would attribute to incompetence or to them not having the right facilities? What?
Well, good question. By the way, I think image, the man who finally arrived after the little girl was taken off and everything, he was arrogant. He incompetence, but I think people are hung up on their images. It has nothing to do with the reality. They're caught up with the idea of being a policeman rather than what they're really supposed to do.
So
that's incompetence, yeah.
They've got something to prove. They have to prove it to you and prove that you ever watch the TV show Cops?
Oh.
Well, you know, they don't mean to do this, but they illustrated very well how arrogant police can be sometimes towards people. I'm not saying that even most police are like this, because I'm sure, you know, a good many of them are well-trained, but you get kind of this patronizing attitude sometimes where, oh, you know, you're just the complaining civilian and, you know.
Yeah, you're really on your own these days out there. Because when I thought, if they couldn't respond to a little 10-year-old girl, you know, having her first seizure, we didn't even know where it came from, who do they respond to?
Right.
Oh, it was quite poignant.
It's also important, I think, for people to be trained themselves as to what that means.
Exactly. Like next time I see, well, the first thing I do when I got back to the school, I said I want a good first aid course because I want to know what to do. I had no idea what was happening. I thought she was dying. She was convulsing in my arms. It was very dramatic. So I figured, well, now it's my responsibility to understand how to take care of people.
I think everything that happens to us is sort of a lesson in a way. And you've got to take that and learn from it. You know, it's a scary experience. Now it's kind of your responsibility to see that other people don't make whatever mistakes you might have made or didn't realize the things that you didn't realize.
I hope so. I wish the people from the subway thing, when you were reading that, it was very powerful. You know, my God, I'll be stuck in that subway. I hope people learn from that.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I could feel that frustration because I've been in the subway and I know what it's like. And I can imagine the fear that goes through your mind. You're stuck in a crowded subway in the dark, and smoke starts billowing in, and nobody knows what's going on.
And Sam, 6 years? Give me a break.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that, too. I knew you were going to say years.
Yeah, I decided to pause because people might say, well, what, 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months? Nah, 6 years. it might be 6 decades. You know, I see so many things falling apart. The city is literally crumbling. The island is probably not far behind,
mm-hmm.
And it's so sad because we've got such potential.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so much going for us in this country, yet we squander it.
Mm-hmm.
We throw it away. We throw billions to savings and loan. We throw billions into the military when there is no real enemy. I mean, yeah, we've got this Iraqi problem, but How many people are backing up the Iraqis? Everybody knows they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we the only ones that say, oh, well, we've got to defeat them. We've got to spend all of our money and lose some lives.
I asked somebody that. I said, why do we want a war? I hate to make it sound so simplistic, but who wants this war, and why do people want this war?
Well, I don't think very many people do.
I feel our sense of priorities because I teach in the schools. And how come schools, this might sound ridiculous, but it really isn't. How come we don't have air conditioning? How come we get the junkiest stuff? Not that you need, like, optimum conditions, but it's an attitude that we're taking towards kids. It's like, we're going to give them the less, the least. We're going to give them the moldy cheese and stuff. That's what we think about our kids.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Per cost.
So anyway, well, carry on, and I'll be listening. Are you on every Saturday at this time?
Every Saturday from 10 to 12, yes.
Perfect. Okay. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, what nice calls I'm getting tonight. This is great. It can't possibly continue, can it? Nah. 632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number. And we're talking about crippling budget cuts and how it affects every one of us. I mean, it probably has affected every one of us in some way, you know. Retailers, everybody says that the Christmas season was a disappointment. I can't understand why. I was in the mall last week, and it was so incredibly crowded. And I was buying a lot of things, too. You know, I was in the bookstore, and the line went from the front of the store all the way to the back of the store. In fact, there was no room for anybody else to be online. I don't know what they do in situations like that. And they seemed pretty happy. They were walking around passing out candy to people to keep them from getting upset. And everybody seemed to be in sort of a jolly mood, and the mall was crowded. You know, it's the only time of the year I even go to the mall, because I really can't stand the mall. Most people hate it anyway. But the holiday season is just kind of, like, different. You know, it's kind of a special time of year. Everybody's sort of running around with this frantic look in their eyes. But I see less and less people doing it very seriously. You know, people seem to realize that it's all a farce anyway. You know, running out and buying presents for people that probably don't care one way or the other what you get them. It's just kind of funny. And you like to participate in that. So, yeah, you blow a few $100 on something that's completely worthless and trivial and lose sight of the true meaning of the holidays anyway. So what? It's the American thing to do, and we're damn proud of it. I can't imagine, though, with the crowd of people that I saw, how things could be failures, you know, how the economy is going down the tubes. But it is. It is, and there's all kinds of reasons that I can't comprehend for this, and a lot of it has to do with money going to the wrong places. So sad. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening.
Yeah, I'd like to comment about what happened at the beginning of the show when two people hung up. Okay.
Oh, you're talking about the contest.
No. When the two people on the line, they hung up.
I had two people on the line, they hung up.
Right, the light was blinking.
Oh, you mean number five and number four.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, what happened?
The reason why they I know, because you stop babbling and they get frustrated.
Uh-huh.
So if you know me, you stop babbling.
But I was babbling about them not hanging up, and then they hung up. That's self-defeating.
Yeah.
At that point, I know I was babbling before and everybody hung up, but when I was babbling at that point, you know, I was babbling about them not hanging up, and they hung up anyway.
Right.
I take that as disrespect.
Well, I'm just stop babbling.
Yeah. Well, I'm not babbling. It's your turn to babble now. Do you have anything to babble about?
Yeah, and also, I liked last week's show when you had the extra 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's because Raz didn't show up in time.
Oh, I thought that was great.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe I'll annex that part of his show from now on, and every week go to 12:15. Would you like that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm sure that people listening to the metal show wouldn't like that, though.
Well, even if you started phone calls at 10:45,
uh-huh,
extra 15 minutes, you know, that'd be great, because a lot more people get on the line.
Why is that? Because the rates go down?
I don't know.
No, the rates don't go down at 11. It's Saturday. The rates are down all day.
Yeah.
Well, there must be some kind of scientific reason for that. But has the budget crisis and everything affected you somehow?
No, not at all.
Not at all? You're living a prosperous life?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. What town are you in?
Port Jefferson.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah.
Port Jefferson is the forefront of the world, right?
Of course.
Okay. Listen, thanks for calling. Have yourself a good night.
You too.
All right. 632. sorry, 632-6901, area code 516. That's our telephone number. In case you're wondering what's going on, we're playing sound effects. We have a sound effects CD here. Oh, yeah. And what fun it is. And we're going to be answering the riddle in just a couple of seconds, too. We're waiting for the person who got it right to call in and tell us what the answer was. Something, and I can't believe no one else got it. Something is about to happen. Something wonderful. Something that has not happened in 110 years. And so far, one person has gotten it right. So call up that one person and everybody else give a call to 632-6901. Good evening.
Hello, this is the person that got it right, Andrew Goldberger.
Well, it's Andrew Goldberger. And Andrew, not only are you usually our first caller, and not only are you here in the studio now sometimes, but you also must have a brain, right? You're able to think about things like that.
I do. And
Let's hear the answer to the riddle.
I'll let the people wait for a while.
He takes
if
after
you ever spelt a word like a dad or something where it's spelled D-A-D, well, when you spell it backwards, it's also D-A-D. And 18...
Wait, hold on. Okay, yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
Right. 1881 was 110 years ago from January 1st. And if you spell the numbers backwards, it is 1881, too. The same holds true for 1991, and that is the answer to the question, and this thing is called palindrome.
That's right. We are about to enter a year that is a palindrome, and this is the first time this has happened this century. 1991 is going to be a palindrome year. Now, for those of you that are going to, you know, not pay attention this year, don't worry, because it's going to happen again in, Andrew?
2002.
That's right, and that's not very far away from now.
Oh, that's 11 years, right? 11 years from January 1st.
I don't know if it's, maybe you could do a little research on this, but I think that's the closest it's ever occurred to...
Probably because it's the turn of the century, unless you count...
It's not just a turn of the century, it's a turn of the bloody millennium.
Oh, whatever, the millennium, right. But unless you count, I guess, 999 and 1001, that would be it.
Boy, 999, what would you call that? That's a palindrome, and that's like a palindrome plus.
Yeah, whatever.
It's like 2222, that's going to be a great year. 1111, you know?
Right. Well, you were talking about, you know, taxes and stuff. A couple of things. Besides the phone bill, I mean, 3.4% isn't a lot when you consider that stamps are going up. The stamp price raises to 30 cents.
Right. Well, you know, it doesn't bother me that the phone bill is going up a little bit. I think that's justified. What bothers me is the blatant attempts at ripping people off by telling them things that just aren't true. And the post office, I feel the same way. I think they're entitled to a rate increase as well. But there's other things about them that annoy me, not nearly as many.
Well, see, I know that you write a newsletter, and you know that I do too. And for that, you know, the mailing out extra 5 cents, it adds up. And, you know, I got a lot of stuff to send out, and it's going to cost a whole lot of money. So, it's, let's see, 1/6 of the price more. And, I mean, in the past couple of years, it's been raising so much. I mean, mailmen have, like, a prestigious job now because of all these rate increases.
Hey, did you tip your mailman this year? I forgot. I just did it a couple of days ago. I hope I didn't offend him.
Tip?
You know, give him money.
No. I don't deal with my mailman. I go straight to the PO box.
Ah, that's one smart way to not deal with it.
Right, and a couple of other things. Let's see.
Are you required to go straight to your PO box, or is that your choice?
No, this is my choice.
Because I know some places don't have delivery, and you have to go to the post office every day to get your mail.
Right, but anyway, I think that people are blaming Saddam Hussein for oil, the oil prices, too much. I mean, I've just heard so much about it, it's making me sick.
Uh-huh.
I think the main reason that, or the main thing that people have not been blaming for our oil increases in the past, like, year has been all the oil spills. That's what I think. I mean,
I don't think people are blaming it on oil spills. Is that what you're saying?
What? No, people aren't. They should be a little more. Because, I mean, this was an... I mean, they're just doing this with Iraq because Iraq, you know, is a foreign country and everything.
You know, I don't see as much ignorance, though, as I thought I would see. I'm very impressed with the way most people are handling this. They're seeing through the rhetoric. And, you know, that's got to be the reason why Bush is being so very careful to do everything according to UN law and, you know, not offending the Congress, not offending anybody. You know, I have to, you know, I'm not happy with where this is going at all. But I think we all have to admit that it could have been a lot worse up till now. And, you know, who knows, it's probably going to get a lot worse, but we could have done something in our usual irrational shoot first, ask questions later way. We haven't, and I attribute that to feedback from people like ourselves who care about this kind of thing, who raise a royal stink when something happens like Panama, and they hear us, and they're being more careful. Doesn't mean their motives are any more honorable. It doesn't mean that they're not going to do it somehow anyway. But they're being very, very careful now, and I think that tells you something about, you know, about what we say. It does have an effect. That's why it's so important for us to speak up and say what's on our minds if we have doubts, if we have fears. And I see more people doing that. I see more people saying, even people who are over there, people saying, you know, this is all about oil. This is nothing more than a fight for oil. It's hard to deny that. It's hard to say this is about democracy or this is about, you know, toppling some ruthless dictator, because Kuwait was not a democracy. Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. We're not even allowed to talk about Christmas over there.
Brooke Shields isn't even allowed to visit in the troops because...
Brooke Shields can't go there? It's all kinds of things. Okay, they have to censor the books that they send them. First of all, if you're sending somebody a book in Saudi Arabia, why do you have to censor it if you're sending it to them? You're not sending it to the Saudi authorities, but apparently, you know, the same rules don't apply there. Yeah, I'm not saying that we should topple their way of life and replace it with ours, but if we're going to be defending something and, you know, we're not allowed to do things at all, you know, our way, we have to completely adapt to another culture, we should start asking ourselves, well, what is it we're really doing over there?
Yeah, but, see, my problem with the oil spill, I really can't get over it because it was one man's clumsiness and he wasted all the oil plus the fish that died. So, see, it's better for some guy like Saddam Hussein to gain economic strength through the oil than just to lose it all and kill fish. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean...
I'm not quite sure I get your point.
Okay. See, the oil spill in, like, Alaska, right? The guy wasted all the oil. They didn't do anything with it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, I know exactly what you're referring to, but, yeah, I know, and it was this guy's fault for,
Saddam Hussein, whatever. The oil that he's taking and, you know, turning into money, whatever. You know, that he's gaining something.
Look,
let's
go on an assumption here, okay? I'm not agreeing with anybody here, but let's just say Saddam Hussein really believes that Kuwait belongs to his country, that it always has belonged to his country. It's been kind of, you know, a child that strayed and they've reclaimed it. Let's say he really believes that. Now, what do you say in return? I mean, I don't accept just you go in there, you march in, and you tell him no, and you shoot him. There's got to be another way to handle this. What would Jean-Luc Picard do, for instance?
Right. Well,
I'm asking you.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Andrew, I put the world's problems in your hands, and you say you don't know. Come on.
Well...
What grade are you in?
I'm in ninth
grade. Come on. I was solving world problems when I was in seventh.
Okay.
Of course, I caused them all when I was in sixth.
Okay. I think that... I really don't know what to think about Iraq taking over Kuwait. I know about other things. I just haven't figured out if it's right or wrong or stuff like that. But I mean, I can figure out just about everything else. That's the one thing that gets me. I don't know.
Well, you gotta try to look at it from your enemy's perspective, and see. You know, I don't think we've been giving Saddam any way out of this, any face-saving way. We just say, no, you've got to withdraw completely. You've got to leave the place the way you found it. Period. No concessions. No talking. No nothing. And, you know, even if he is completely wrong, and I think maybe he thinks he is wrong at this point, it's possible he might have, if he had it to do, you know, to do again, I don't think he would do the same thing.
Well, I was watching David Letterman last night.
Well, hold on a second. Before you bring up some serious stuff.
No, this is Iraq.
Okay, but you know,
yeah.
The point is.
No. This,
all right,
no,
go ahead.
The predictions are serious and as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
The real thing is that this will end peacefully.
That would be very nice.
No, it's not nice. It's
the thing is
going to happen.
Well, the thing is, you know, Saddam Hussein would not do this again, I don't think. Now, he's at the point where he says, okay, I messed up, I shouldn't have done this, but I'm sure as hell not going to say, okay, you guys win, I'm withdrawing, because then he's got to face... I mean, look, you ever watch the World Cup? All right, there was one time when the Italians lost, okay, and they weren't even let back in their country. I mean, they would not let the plane land in the airport because the Italians lost. This is worse than losing the World Cup. And Saddam is going to be in a lot of hot water if he messes this up. And there's no worse way to mess it up than to, you know, than to go out without even fighting. I mean, it's like a Klingon warrior would never do that.
Right,
right?
Well,
so you can't expect Saddam to do that. Now, you have to give him some space. You have to give him a way out. I don't know what that way out is, but I don't see us trying to give him a way out. I think if you do that, you might just see a peaceful solution. And I'm beginning to wonder, maybe the people in charge don't want to see a peaceful solution.
Well, I mean, George Bush, all he's interested in is playing golf, tennis, whatever. I mean, and then he goes on TV and he says, Saddam Hussein is worse than Hitler. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he leaves. I mean, he's really not doing anything. I mean, visiting troops in Thanksgiving is nice. What talks has he had? He hasn't done anything. I mean, has he talked with the Iraqi ambassador, the ambassador from Iraq to the United States? I mean, he really hasn't done anything, I don't think. I mean, he's thought about it. He's talked about it. He's complained about it. But he's not really talked with anyone like major from Iraq or anything.
That's true. And this whole bickering about when they're going to meet. So what? We meet January 12th. Big deal. Let's meet January 12th. It's better than not meeting at all.
I doubt there will be an assassination attempt on George Bush during a meeting with Saddam Hussein. I mean, unless they like show George Bush publicly, I mean, wherever. I mean, they'll probably go to some place like Finland or Iceland or something like that, where it doesn't really matter, but, I mean, no one is going to try to kill either one of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I really do wish they would lock the two of them in a room together and just, you know, come back in 2 days, give them food and water, and just see what they come up with. I mean, I really think they should do that. I'm not kidding. Listen, Andrew, I got to go, but before we leave, I want you to do one last thing for me.
Sure.
Name an airline, please.
Eastern.
Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Do I get a prize for...
No
what
prizes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get... We'll put your name on a plaque. How's that?
That'll be great.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
See ya. We'll put his name on a plaque that's already posted somewhere at another radio station. We'll just sort of carve it in. Okay, he said Eastern, so let's do our thing. Yes, it's time for the weekly program that reaches out and seeks to confuse. We do a pretty good job of that right here, but sometimes we like to go out further and do it as well. Let's access 800 information. They're my favorite people. When they pick up the phone, that is.
Directory Joe.
Yes, hi. I need the telephone number, please, for Eastern Airlines.
Thank you.
The toll-free number is 800-327-8376.
Hope I remembered that. Right, I didn't have a pen or anything like that. Okay, we're calling Eastern Airlines here on brain damage. Gee, I hope we have time to do this. If not, we'll have to continue it next week. But we're going to give it our best shot here. If the folks at Eastern pick up their phones, what is it? Saturday night at midnight is a busy time for everybody? You know, I think it is. I think it's shift changing.
Eastern Airlines, this is Mary Lou.
Yes, hi. I was interested in booking a trip, and I was wondering if you fly to a particular city, for instance.
Okay. Out of what city?
I'd be going from New York, or actually, I could go to Newark. New York or Newark, I guess. And the city I'm going to is Baghdad.
Baghdad.
Yes, and I want to get there by the 15th.
We don't go there.
Oh, dear. Can you recommend someone who does?
Uh-huh. Hold on for a second.
Thank you.
Baghdad, and this is in... where is that at?
That's Iraq, I believe.
Iraq. No, the reason I ask is because there is a Baghdad in Arizona, one in Florida, one in Kentucky. Hold on for a second, okay?
Okay, sure. Baghdad, Kentucky. Let's go to Baghdad, Kentucky.
Eastern introduces new nonstop service to San Antonio, Texas. And
gosh, you think maybe they'll bomb the wrong Baghdad?
Beginning January 31st, 1991.
Man, that would be something.
And to introduce this new service...
Oh, this is an advertiser. We can't put advertising on the air. Don't they know we're a non-commercial radio station? Put sound effects back on. Oh, the sound effects ended? Oh, the sound effects ended. Okay, all right. I don't know what to do about this because I can't turn it down because if I turn it down, then we won't hear when they come back on. If I turn it up, then we've got them okay. Music is fine.
Try our new corporate rates. Thousands and thousands of business customers have everywhere Eastern flies. Eastern's corporate rates allow you to fly in the comfort of first class for the price of coach.
Oh, this is silly. This is crazy.
To wish you and your loved ones a happy holiday season and to thank you for your continued business.
Sure, no problem. See how hard it is to get to other parts of the world? Shouldn't have to be this hard. I want to go to Baghdad. I should be able to go like that.
Due to congested airports during the holiday season, Eastern would like to remind our customers to allow a little extra time when going to the airport to catch their flight.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
Have a joyous holiday season.
You
and
bet.
Thank you for flying Eastern.
We're not flying anywhere. I'm afraid we're stuck here on hold. In fact, we got to get out of here because it's time for Raz. And Raz is getting impatient. Raz is getting really impatient. Raz, put that down. Put that down. Okay. We're just going to have to fade this away for the moment. And maybe pick this up next week. You know, I hate to think that maybe 15 or 20 minutes from now, she's going to come back and find that I've gone. But That's the kind of thing that happens, right? Oh, well, it was another fun edition of Confuse the Operator. And gag at the same time. But at least we found out there was a Baghdad in Kentucky. The things you learn on radio. That's a rousing theme, isn't it? Well, that's it for us here at Brain Damage this week. I want to thank all the people who called in, and look forward to seeing you all next week. Have a happy, but more importantly, have a fun New Year. Oh, yeah, have a safe New Year, too. Everyone's going to tell you that, but have fun. And remember, ring in the palindrome year with a vengeance, because you're not going to see another one for another 11 years, which is a palindrome in itself. But more on that later.
Brain Damage is underwritten by a grant from the Little Computer Shop, located in the Model Shopping Mall in Centereach. Phone number 467-4352. The Little Computer Shop stocks the latest in hardware, software, and computer publications.
And that's it for Brain Damage. Coming up next is Rez, but first, the Concert Billboard with Matthew.
Hi, this is Matt with the Concert Billboard for Christmas Week 1990. On Saturday, December 22nd, Gwar, the Lunatics, and Cal Ken will be at the Academy. Otis Ball will be at Maxwell's. The day after Christmas, Wednesday, December 26th, Urban Blight will be at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Thursday, the 27th, Circus of Power, White Trash, and White Zombie will be at the Ritz. American Standard and Super Touch will be at Maxwell's. Friday, the 28th, Fish will be at the Marquee, and Gwar and Cal Ken will be at Sundance. Saturday, December 29th, the Ramones will be at the Ritz. Leeway and Blitzbeer will be at Maxwell's, and Life Out of Balance, featuring WUSB's own Ted Schreiber, will be at Woody's. Sunday, December 30th, the Scofflaws will be at New York Avenue in Huntington, and They Might Be Giants will be at the Village Gate. They return there on New Year's Eve, and also on New Year's Eve, the Wailers will be at Bay Street, Soul Asylum, and the Pussy Willows will be at Maxwell's. Blues Traveler, the Spin Doctors, and Merle Saunders will be at Roseland. The Radiators and Hot Tuna will be playing at the Ritz. Buddy Guy will be at the Lone Star Roadhouse. D. Light and Grace Jones will be at the Palladium. The Fleshtones will be at Woody's. And Laurie Anderson and Cab Calloway, what a combination there, will be at IMAC. Coming up in 1991, David Grisman will be at IMAC on January 5th. Candlemass will be at Sundance on January 12th. Super Bowl IV of Hardcore, featuring Agnostic Front, Sick of It All, the Gorilla Biscuits, and several other hardcore bands will be at the Ritz. January 25th, Marty Jones and Don Dixon will be at the Bottom Line. The Feelies will be at Maxwell's on January 31st. February 1st, the Feelies will be at Maxwell's again. And on February 4th, Neil Young and World Party will be at Madison Square Garden. Concert Billboard is brought to you four times each weekday at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at 12 noon and 12 midnight. Just in case you missed anything, give us a call here at WUSB at 516-632-6901. And stay tuned to WUSB throughout the week for ticket giveaways. This is Matt here on WUSB Stony Brook, where unique sounds begin and will continue to do so for the coming year. Merry Christmas to
you
all.
Hey, what are you doing?
All a good night.
Hi, Rez. I just haven't been getting my fulfillment of brutality lately, so I decided to introduce my cat to Mr. Chainsaw. What are you, some kind of a nut? If it's brutality that you want, then listen to the Power Surge.
The what?
The Power Surge is Long Island's most brutal death, speed, and thrash metal show. Tune in Saturday night, 12 to 2:30, and find out what real metal is all about. Plus, all the essentials every show should have. News, ticket giveaways, and interviews. That's death, speed, and thrash metal from everywhere on this planet, only on the Power Surge. Saturday night, prime time, 12 to 2:30. So listen up and brutalize yourself for a change.
Yeah, that's us, the Power Surge. 90.1 WSB in Stony Brook. The Raz welcoming everybody here to the Power Surge tonight, 12 midnight. And what's going on? Well, let me tell you, simple and simple enough, the Power Surge itself has the 10 best albums of 1990, a year of who knows what, where, or why. It's gone. It's over. Time has ceased. Number 10. We started out with a band. We pretty much started it all. Death. The album called Spiritual Healing. The cut, Altering the Future.
In the mind. us a minute. They're listening to Power Surge.